We all understand that spiritual things are spiritually discerned. And when we get to talking about spiritual things, we cannot perceive them mind to mind. They have to be perceived spirit to spirit. And my prayer today is that whatever revelation God is wanting to bring to us, that we will open up our hearts and our spirits to receive that revelation from Him. And so as we pray this prayer today, I'm just going to ask you if you would approach this prayer within the back of your mind, that you would just say to the Lord, Lord, if there is a revelation and what is being spoken to us today, I open up myself to receive that revelation from you. And today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I will hear and apply a truth to my life that I might be transformed into your image. You may be seated.
If you take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to talk a minute, then we'll get there. Last week, as Pastor was speaking, there were a couple of things that happened on the inside of me that were just pretty incredible. And we talked about it after church for a while over the phone, and both of us got really excited, and it just seemed like we kept going from revelation to revelation to revelation to revelation. This is the day of revelation knowledge. It's been, I think that in the 70s, a revival of revelation knowledge hit the church. And the church began to see the Word, understand the Word, hear the Word, know the Word, memorize the Word, live the Word, probably stronger than it ever had been before. And then I believe that the enemy has been coming against that move. And in a lot of places that's changed, as every move of God, the religious tried to turn it into something that they can camp out with and hold back, and God's gone. And so things change. But the title of today's sermon is Talking Like an Egyptian. And we'll get there in a minute. When I get started, you're going to say, well, what does this have to do with that? But we'll get there in just a minute. But in Genesis chapter 3, something very interesting is said here in verses 8 and 9. It says this: and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. I want to stop there because I've been thinking about that all week long. I read a lot. I read more than I watch TV. I read more than I do anything else. I read all the time. As a matter of fact, I read a book last night all night long. I slept about 20 minutes because I couldn't sleep. I was in warfare all night, and I know I was in warfare because the enemy didn't want me to be able to get up and to speak to you when I'm going to speak to you. And my prayer is that this word will hit you like it hit me. As Pastor was speaking last week, some things were said, like I said, the revelation just really started stirring. But here in the Bible, it says, in the cool of the evening, they heard God walking. And I began to think about that and think that, you know, I don't know if anywhere else in this book that words are used in such a way that it draws you in. Jesus told parables, but he didn't use a lot of adjectives of explaining. He just went straight to the point and said, this is what was happening, this is what went on, and this is what happened, you know, and this is, you know. But you don't hear a lot of, in the cool of the evening, they heard God walking. And I've been thinking about that for actually years. Why in this particular verse is it so eloquently spoken? And why are these words said in such a way that it just kind of draws you in? In the cool of the evening, they heard God walking in the garden. It paints a picture, exactly. It paints a picture. And they heard God walking. Now, we know at this point that Adam and Eve have partaken of the tree, of the fruit, and the fall has happened. And I think following this part here are the saddest words in the Bible. It says this: and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called to Adam and he said to him, Adam, where are you? Now, I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is so important for right now. When God asks a question, it's never because he needs information. Adam, where are you? Adam stood there and he tried to hide, but then he realized you can't hide from God. And something happened that day that causes us to realize, number one, Adam, when God said, what's going on? And he said, you know, you understand that you're naked. You know, how was this revealed to you? Did you partake of the garden? And then immediately Adam did something that mankind has done ever since. He said, that woman you gave me. And she said, well, that serpent. And began to point fingers and began to say, well, if it hadn't been for them, I wouldn't be where I am. Adam, where are you? Well, she, and he looked at Eve, well, he, and immediately the blame began to go elsewhere. I wonder at this point, had Adam and Eve said, we messed up. Had Adam said, I'm going to take all responsibility for this. I sinned, Father. Knowing God like I know God, that's all he ever looked for, was honesty, truth, and repentance. I did wrong. I messed up. I sinned. God's always looked for a repentant heart. But instead, as mankind has done for now, what, 6,000 years? If it wasn't for they, even in my own struggles and trials, I came to a revelation a couple of years ago that there's some things in my life that I was born with. And in a way, it gave me some comfort because I realized I was battling some things that came to me generationally. So it wasn't completely all my fault. But you see what that does, and as I read through the book of Genesis here, and I got the message out yesterday. I was reading through the book of Genesis, and it talks about at one point that it, when it got over to Sodom and Gomorrah, and it talked about the fact that God said he knew that there was a bent toward a certain way. We all have bents. Some have bents toward alcoholism. Some have bents toward drug addiction. Some have bents toward lying. Some have bents toward overeating. Some have bents toward sexual sin. Some have bents towards a lot of different things. And sometimes it was because when we were born, those things were generationally passed down. They just came through the lineage. We find that they're familiar spirits. And they've attached to the whited name. So as I come into revelation of them and I have a lineage under me, then I make a proclamation. Today, this stops here. So, well, it may be a little bit late. You've got a young'un 32 years old. You've got a young'un 26 years old. You've got a young'un 21, almost 21 years old. And you've got a young'un 19 years old. And today you want to stop it? Today I want to stop it. I serve notice to the enemy of darkness, that today it's over. I'm going to take authority of it because as a father, as a man of God, I'm going to take my authority and I'm going to do my war where the war has to be done in the heavenlies. And I'm going to stand against those powers and principalities and wicked rulers in heavenly places. And I'm getting way ahead of myself, but I like it. God said, Adam, where are you? I've been thinking about this and thinking about this. And last week, Pastor said something. When he said it, it exploded on the inside of me. He said these words. He said, our bodies were not built to withstand sin. Our bodies were not built to withstand sin. Adam and Eve were in the garden. They were in a place of perfection. They were in a place of total purity. They were in a place of total innocence. Total innocence. The enemy came and he tempted them They partook of the temptation, or they accepted the temptation, and they sinned. When he said, our bodies were not built to withstand sin, that moment, death began working in mankind. Death began working. To that point, there was nothing but life. To that point, there was nothing but eternity. To that point, there was nothing but health. There was nothing but provision. There was nothing but abundance. There was nothing but everything you could ever possibly imagine taken care of. It was so good, they didn't even know they were naked. That's how pure things were. But when they partook, they immediately realized their humanity. And God said, Adam, where are you? And as I was meditating on this week, Charlie, I began to think about it. How many times that when I knew the Spirit of God was dealing with me about my stuff, that instead of saying, well, I did this, I've done everything I know to do and nothing's changed. Well, it came down through my lineage. Well, when I was 6 years old, this happened. When I was 12 years old, this happened. When I was 17, this happened. When I was 20, this happened. And then all of that happened and it just keeps me trapped. It just keeps me this. And God is saying, wait a minute. I didn't ask you about all that. Where are you? This morning, somewhere around between 2:30 and 3, had a visitation of the Spirit of God. And I heard the Spirit of God say, Mike, where are you? Can I be honest?
Yes.
I said, I don't know. I just don't know. The next thing I heard God say to me was, why? I said, I'm tired. It's been all so long. I don't know, God. Why? Well, I don't understand some things and I don't know what to say to you. Why? You see what sin does? Sin separates us from God. But I want you to see something that I saw this morning at somewhere around 3 this morning. Sin separates us from God, but God didn't go anywhere. God didn't move. Sin separates us from Him, but He didn't go anywhere. You see, when I know of sin, there's a block. And it's not His block. It's mine. That's why I can say, oh no. I'm confused. Why? God kept saying to me, why? Why? And you know, when God asks you a question, it's not because He needs information. It's because He knows that there's something I need to figure out. I need to figure out. Adam, where are you? Mike, where are you? Call your name. Where are you? In this day, in this hour, in this time, where are you? There's some folks in this room who say, Mike, I'm not very far down the road. I haven't got very far from the day that I said, Jesus, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I'm kind of right there. I haven't seen a whole lot change from that day forward. Some folks say, well, you know, Mike, there was a day when I was really moving forward in God. I really was seeing some great things happen. But then some things happened and here we go back to Egypt. I got uncomfortable with where I was and got to thinking, you know what? I think I was much more comfortable the way things were. Because there's something about my nature in that I was much more happy in what I understood. I was much more happy in my bent. I was much more happy in that which I grew up with. I was much more settled, much more comfortable. Because sometimes when God's, no, not sometimes, almost all the time when God's moving, you don't know what the next step is. And it gets scary. And sometimes we take steps that we thought were God. We find out later it wasn't God. It was our own stepping. And we get ourselves in a heap of trouble. But then God looks back at us and he's saying, Mike, where are you? Because you know what he's looking for? He's not looking for the excuse. He's not looking for the reason. I've worked for people who said, don't give me excuses. I don't want any excuses. And I said, okay, I don't have any excuses. Here's the reason. Because as far as I'm concerned, there's no difference. I didn't do what I didn't do because of what this reason. Well, that's an excuse. Well, I just didn't do it. Why didn't you do it? God's just looking for us to be totally 100% honest with him. I believe as the day was when he talked to Adam and he said, where are you? He was looking for Adam to say, I missed it. I sinned. I did what you told me not to do. But you see, God knew before the foundation of the world. And he said, I tell you what, there's some things going to happen. There's some things going to come along. Got to Noah and he said, man, I'm just tired of you people. And that's what God said. I'm tired of the way y'all are acting. I'm going to do away with all of you. And then he saw Noah and he liked Noah. And he held on. Sodom and Gomorrah came and there was a plea for don't, you know, if you find 50, will you not do it? If you find 45, will you not destroy them? If you find 40, will you not? If you find 30, and he all got all the way down to 10, you know what? They didn't find 10 righteous. And the angels came. The three came. And I got to thinking about that. I reckon that was the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And sin was so rampant, it was nasty. And Lot got out, but his wife turned back. Lot could have said, well, she did this. You know, we can blame. When Pastor said, our bodies were not built to withstand sin, immediately, this is what I heard, our minds were not built. No. Our minds were not built to comprehend sin. Our minds were not built to comprehend sin. Adam and Eve didn't know how to respond because they were comprehending something they didn't know how to comprehend. And that was separation from God. But God didn't go anywhere. They did. They were trying to hide from the one who knows all. You want to say, well, how stupid could you have been? And y'all, I've been doing that for 52 years. Mankind has been doing it for 6,000 years. Our minds were not made to comprehend sin. Our minds were made for purity. Our minds were made for innocence. Our minds were made to be in communion with the Father. And communion, y'all, is not just talking. Communion is an exchange. Communion is when I give you part of me and you give me part of you. That's what true communion is. When we partake of the elements, there is a spiritual impartation. Communion is when I give you part of me and you give me part of you. That's what true communion is. But you see, sin stops the communion. Not on his part, on mine. And isn't it amazing how we come up with all the excuses and the reasons why we can blame everything and everybody else for why we're in the place that we're in. And God says, why? Well, they did. Mike, why? Well, God, if so-and-so hadn't have done, why? If she hadn't, why? We want to put the blame game. That's where in that song it says, I'm going to lay down my shame. Because you see, the blame game just keeps us in the shame. Yes, it does. We don't ever get out of the shame. You can't lay down your shame as long as you're blaming. I'm trading my sorrows for the joy of the Lord. A lot of folk can't come into the joy of the Lord because we just can't quit blaming him and her and them and they. When God's wanting to say, Mike, where are you? Where are you? God said, you know, Adam, this is where you are. Noah, this is where you are. Moses, this is where you are. And he said, Moses, he said, I want you to do something for me. I want you to go in and I want you to lead my people out of bondage. Moses was the type of Jesus. He went in. He spoke to Pharaoh. He said, you got to let my people go. Pharaoh said, I'm not going to do it. Y'all, I want you to think about this. They saw the plagues. They saw the parting of the Red Sea. They saw the pillar of fire and the pillar of smoke. They saw the manna coming down from heaven. They saw amazing things. And when they got out of Egypt, they started complaining and saying, you know what? I think it was safer back there. We should have stayed. Moses, what have you brought us? Where have you brought us to? And folks, sometimes I believe we're saying to Jesus, what have you brought me to? I think I was more comfortable back there. My flesh doesn't understand this. But you see, our flesh was made to understand nothing but communion with the Father. But the day Adam and Eve partook of the fruit, there became a realization of darkness, and darkness seeped into the earth and is in us today, and we still are arguing with God on who's to blame. And there are times in our lives, why, oh, why, oh, why? It's no different today than it has been for 6,000 years. That we say, you know what? I'm going back. And I'm going to talk like an Egyptian. Because I think I was much more comfortable. Thank God Moses didn't give up. What should have been a few days trip took 40 years. I've been working on mine for 52. How many of you have been working on yours? And God's saying to you and to me today, where are you? Where are you? I'm not saying this because I want to make anybody in here feel like you're the only one. I'm telling you, at 2:30 this morning, God said to Mike, where are you? And I said, I don't know. Why? Because I'm confused. Why? And I had to come down to the point and said, because I've been doing some things you didn't want me to do. Why? And I had to be gut level honest with God, because I'm bad. Because I'm wrong. He said, let's start from there. And I said, I'm sorry. He said, okay, we can build from here. And I was up till 20 minutes till 8 this morning. My alarm went off at 8 o'clock. Talking to God about where I am. Being as honest as I could be, Michelle. And I believe in every one of our lives where God has been bringing us as a church to this place for us to consider, where am I today? No bull with God. Honesty. That's what he was looking for from Adam that day. And Adam set the example for us. And maybe there's some folk in here that say, Mike, I'm not there. I've been as honest with God as I know how to be, and I'm being honest. There's something inside of me that says there's something over your eyes you need to see clearly better, because I don't know that there's anybody that's arrived. But thank God he's not given up on us. That when sin separates us, it's not him that goes anywhere. It's me. And he's standing there waiting. Are you coming back? Where are you? I'm over here, God. Why? Because I've been wrong. Why? Because I'm bad. Why? Because there's something in me that's not like you. Why? I can blame. I can look. I can point fingers. I can say this date. I can say this person. I can say this abuse. I can say this. I can say that. And he says, let's get beyond that and let's get to you. I'm separated from you because of what's in me that's not like you. Well, what are you going to do about it? 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sin, he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When my son went to Iraq, excuse me, when my son went to Afghanistan, I wrote it on a piece of paper and I gave it to him. I said, Caleb, every day, I don't care what happens, I don't care what you deal with, you remember 1 John 1:9. You confess your stuff to God. I don't care how many times you fall, confess it to God. That's more important to me than anything else that happens. Because no matter what, if you'll keep that in front of you, then whatever happens when you go to Afghanistan, I'm still going to see you. I'm still going to see you. Because that's what it's all about, y'all. And there's some people with some natures that are difficult to deal with. Have not seen a lot of victory. Have not seen a lot of peace. When Pastor said that man's body was not made to comprehend or built to withstand sin. I got to thinking, you know, back in those days, those people lived for hundreds of years. And over 6,000 years, sin has become so much stronger. And in our lives, our lifespans have gotten shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Did you know one time, place in Genesis, God says, well, their lifespan's going to go to 120 years and it's not there now. And it's because of sin. It's because of sin. It's because sin separates us from God. I'm not saying that it's okay to go on sinning. Pastor has never said it's okay to live in sin. The message that we believe God is saying to us, it's time to deal with it. And where are you? And where am I? And where are we? Where am I? Where are you? And why? Can't blame anybody else. I have to take responsibility for right now. I have to take responsibility for right now. And from this day forward, we'll see what God says. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you don't have to look there because most everybody knows this one. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation or a new creature. He says, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. That's another daily scripture for us. Because you see, in Christ, I'm new. If there's an old thing cropping up, it's because I'm not walking in Christ. It's because I'm walking in Mike. And the best way to get out of that is to keep that with him, with where I am. There's some of me cropping up here, God. And he said, I loved you enough that I sent Jesus, my son, to bring you freedom. I don't feel free. This is where faith comes in. I don't look free. I'm not acting free. I'm not living free. God says, why? I made provision for you. 2,000 years ago, I sent myself so that you, Mike, can be free. If I could say everybody's name in this room, I would. My luck, I'd forget somebody's name and somebody'd go home offended at me. But he said, I sent Jesus so you could be a new creation. I like the word creature because I've been living the life of a creature. And I'm new now. Old things are passed away. Well, they don't feel like it. Well, I can't be moved by what I feel. It doesn't seem like it. I can't be moved by what it seems like. I've got to be moved according to the truth. Jesus said in John 17:17, He said, Father, sanctify them, set them apart, grow them up, mature them, bring them into all that you have for them by your truth. Your word is the truth. That's why there's such a battle for us to stay in the word and to get in the word. And to understand the word. Thank God He sent us fivefold ministry gifts that will help encourage us, teach us, and bring us in the way that we should go. Amen. I just wanted to share that with you this morning. There's a battle in the heavenlies. Ephesians tells us that our battle's not with flesh and blood. See, I want to blame the person that sexually abused me when I was 6 years old. I want to blame the person that sexually abused me 2 weeks later. I want to blame when my parents moved to where they live now, neighbors that abused me. I want to blame all the people, the man in my mom and dad's church that abused me till I was 17 years old. I want to blame all the people that did what they did to me. And God says, Mike, I love you enough that I was there through every bit of it. And I brought you to where you are today. Not that you would fail, but that instead of what the enemy meant to take you out with, I would bring you to a place of wholeness and purity and steadfastness that you could rise above what the enemy tried to do to you and bring you into all that I have for you so that you could look at a people with compassion and say, I don't care what you've been through. If God can bring me through what I've been through, He can bring you through what you've been through. He can bring you through. And He will. And today He's looking at you with a heart of, I want you back with me. Where are you? Why? Why? I'm just waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? That's what He's been waiting for since day one. And He says, now we can go from here. We can go forward. I messed up, Lord. Okay, let's go on. And that's why I love 1 John 1:9 so much. Because He said, not only will He forgive me of my sin, but He cleanses me from the unrighteousness of it. He cleanses me from the unrighteousness of it. Can I tell you, there have been days in my life that I've been headed toward church to preach and minister the gospel of Jesus Christ, that I was proclaiming 1 John 1:9 because in my week I had given to my flesh for whatever reason, in whatever way. And I said, by faith, Father, I don't know how many times you're going to let me do this, but by faith I confess to you my sin and I tell you I'm sorry, and I, by faith, because sometimes my flesh won't even let me feel sorry. But by faith, Lord, I confess it as sin and I receive your forgiveness and I receive your cleansing for now so that I can stand before a people and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and nothing will between me and you and your anointing can go forth and make changes in people's lives. By faith, Lord, not by the way I feel, not by what I did right, not by what I did wrong. Because I could live for weeks, I can live for months and not give to my junk. And still, it's a battle. Still, it's not because I did it right. It's because Jesus did it right that I could stand. Because Jesus did it right. And we go forward. What God begins to work in individuals in a local body. Boy, I sense the anointing of God today. What God begins to do in individuals, He will begin to stir corporately. If just one other person will agree with me, that's all God's looking for to do a miracle in this house. Yeah, He's looking for two or three who'll agree. Then he'll show up and he'll show out. And he'll do what's necessary. Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. Somebody else? Amen. 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 There's some battles that have been fought in this room that if you'll just agree, you'll start beginning to see the victory of Jesus in your life. I shared with Pastor, I want to go into detail about this, but I believe there's some sickness and some diseases on some folk that we're going to start seeing reversed because we're willing to say, God, this is where I am. This is where I am. I'll let you go ahead.
Because I feel emboldened by what it is I've heard this morning. Let me rephrase just one thing. In 6,000 years of human history, I don't know that necessarily sin has become stronger, but over time it wears on us. And so we start out in human history with the intention of God that we would live forever. And then as sin entered into the world, they lived for hundreds of years. But then our time frame on earth shortened and shortened and shortened and shortened and shortened and shortened. And it's only been in the last 50 to 70 years that it has started going back up again. And that's not because sin has become less strong, but because we've become more inventive on medicines to prolong living, although we haven't necessarily figured out how to prolong life. I've been saying to you for several years now, we want to go back to the garden. We want to do garden thinking, not Egyptian thinking. And that's where this whole title for today came in, is that what we have done, what I have done is I've gone back to thinking more like the Egyptian than like the man who's being led to a promised land. When Mike and I were talking about this Monday, I shared this story with him that I was in a situation one time and my taxes were being done and were being looked at, and the auditor who was looking at my taxes said, "Man, you give an awful lot of money to your church. Why you give a lot more than, you know, what your 10% is, and why do you do that?" And I said, "Well, I decided sometime back that I would start tithing on how much money I wanted to make instead of how much money I was making. And then because I trust God that He will, you know, what He said is here's your money tithe up to it." I said, "Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to tithe up to where I want to be. And then I want you to work in my life, God, to bring about the circumstances where my income will go up to match what it is I'm tithing." That person looked at me like I had lost my mind. And at that moment, I went to thinking like an Egyptian and thought to myself, "I have lost my mind." And I quit. See, we're not necessarily talking about drugs and alcohol here. We're talking about thinking like an Egyptian in any of our thinking. That what we've got to do, and this is what Mike said last week at the end of service. What he said was, "I've been born out of one kingdom and I'm born into another kingdom. My problem is that my mind hasn't made the transfer."
That's right.
And what I've got to start doing is I've got to start thinking like kingdom thinking. And I understand that that's going to run counterculture to the kingdom in which I live. But the kingdom in which I live is not the kingdom in which I experience life. I experience life in the kingdom of God. My mind was never intended to be able to comprehend sin. And yet I have spent 54 years disciplining my mind to comprehend sin. Why is it that sin is not strange to me? Why is it normal rather than abnormal? Why is being sick normal? Well, you know, everybody catches a cold. Jesus lived 33 years without one, as far as I know. I remember all of those years that, I could say it up to today. For all of the years that I've been involved in ministry, I've had people say to me, oh, don't hug me. I got a bug. All the hospitals I've been in, all the sick people I've been around, I have never gotten sick being around sick people when I was there to minister. Amen. Why? Because when you're walking in the kingdom of this world doesn't affect you. Amen. Now, having said that, now you understand that the nice guy went first. He's the pastor. Okay? The ugly guy comes second. He's the prophet. Whatever it is that's going wrong with me, it's because I'm living in the wrong world. You got a migraine? Quit living in that world. You got an ulcer? Quit living in that world. You got high blood pressure? Quit living in that world. You got diabetes? Are you diabetical? Diabetical? However it is she said. Quit living in that world. Live in a world where I can't comprehend being sick. Because my mind was never created to comprehend ever being sick. Well, them two guys, they must have lost their minds. Everybody's sick. Yeah. Because everybody's living in the wrong world. So where are you? We got to get into kingdom thinking. My mind wasn't made for this world. My mind wasn't made to think like this world. My body wasn't made to be in this world. My mind, my body, my spirit was made for another world. In conclusion, I'm going to say this then as my prophetic utterance. Okay? I believe that my parents are going to be healed. Now, let me hold on for just a second. It's amazing how we don't want people to die. Guess what, guys? In 6,000 years, there's been nobody who's not died. Everybody dies. My parents are going to die, unless Jesus comes. Their parents died. Their parents died. Their parents died. And their parents died. What makes me think my parents are not going to die? My parents are going to die. Okay, and I'm not trying to be morbid or sick here. That's a reality. They're going to die. My children are going to die. My grandchildren are going to die. Unless Jesus comes, they're going to die. So the question is not, are they going to die? The question is, how are they going to die? Are they going to die living in what kingdom? Are we going to let the kingdom of this world take my daddy out? Am I going to let the kingdom of this world take my daddy out? Or am I going to let the kingdom that my daddy and mother have been reborn into take my daddy and mother out? Because the question is not, are you going to die? The question is, what kingdom are you going to be living in when you die? But see, we've become so accustomed to, my dad's mother, she died from dementia, so my dad's got dementia, so my dad's going to die from dementia. That's crappy world thinking.
That's right.
That's what that is.
Amen.
That's crappy world thinking.
That's right.
Because in the kingdom of God, we can just be walking along and then just disappear and not be here anymore.
That's the craziest thing I ever heard of.
That's the Bible.
Yeah.
And why is it that when it's in the Bible, we think it's crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Why? That's what I want to know. Why? Why? Why?
Well, God asks. Why?
Why? Why? Where are you, Don? I'll tell you where I am, God. I'm back to trusting you on every word you say, and you better not fail me. He goes, deal!
Amen.
I will not fail you if you'll think like me. Yes, sir. I want to think like you. Whatever you say I can do, by God, you, I can do it. Not using that as a swear word. Okay, you understand, okay. But it is through you I can do whatever it is you tell me I can do. I can be whatever it is you tell me I can be. And I'm sick and tired of thinking, stinking thinking. Don't want to be carnally minded. carnal. He's a carnivorous meat eater. Don't want to be a meathead anymore. Don't want to be a meathead anymore. I want this mind which is in Christ Jesus to be in me. That if the world puts me on a cross and nails me 3 days later, I can come back to life. If that's what my destiny is. That if I'm in a boat, which I don't intend to get on another boat, but if I'm on a boat, last one I was on, I was sick. I told God, you get me on land, you'll never have to save me again. But if I'm on a boat and the storm comes, I can walk on the water if that's what I need to do. That if I get to where I'm hungry, a raven can bring me meat. Because God, I'm going to trust you. That you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to think like you think. I'm going to believe in you for what it is you said. And yeah, my parents are going to die. But I'm believing today that it's not dementia that's going to take my daddy out. I'm believing today that it is not scleroderma that's going to take my mama out. And I'm believing today that whatever it is that you, and 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 you are dealing with, that ain't going to take us out. Because I'm going to live in a peace that passes all understanding. And if they gather a crowd and try to push me off of the edge of the cliff, I'll just walk right straight through and they'll never even know what happened to me. That when they're all gathered around to catch me in what I say, that I will say the right things. Because what he said was, in the day and hour in which you stand before the judge, I will put the words in your mouth. That's what he said. Now, I'm just going to tell you in conclusion, if you thought I was crazy up to this point, you ain't seen crazy yet. Because even Jesus's mother came to lock him up. And his reaction was, and who is my mother? Except those that do the will of my Father. Tired of thinking. Well, actually, I'm not tired of thinking like an Egyptian. It's much more comfortable when I know what time I got to get up and go to work, and what I got to do today is make bricks. And when I get my bricks made, I get to go home, and tomorrow I get to come back and I get to make some more bricks. You know, there's a certain amount of comfort in that conformity. And no matter that I've seen the sea parted and the manna fall and the cloud over my head, I still want to go back to Egypt. But I'll tell you what I am tired of. I'm tired of the effects of sin on me. I'm tired of the effects of sin on my family. And I'm tired of not trusting God to be what God said God would be. That's what I'm tired of. I told Charlie and Teresa this morning, I believe that because of this revelation, we're going to see some great miracles. I don't think we will see great miracles and get a revelation. That's the cart in front of the horse. When the revelator shows up, the dead walk, the blind see, and the deaf hear. And Judy, no matter what it is you've been trusting God for how many years you've been trusting Him, we're going to get into some kingdom thinking. We're going to receive the revelation of what it means to think in the kingdom. And we're going to see some miracles. Bryce. And when a doctor talks to me and Egyptian, I'm going to speak to him like a Jew. Because I don't live in the kingdom of this world. Now let's be careful. We don't want to become, you know, where all of a sudden I'm in charge of this world because I'm in the kingdom. No, he's in charge. He's the king over the kingdom. I'm just the one lucky enough to kiss his feet. Father, we thank you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to ask you today. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm going to ask you to come forward. You know, I'm not going to do any of that kind of stuff. I'm going to ask you right where you are, though, to respond to a visit, to an invitation by the Holy Spirit to get involved in kingdom thinking. And every one of us in this room is getting ready to make a decision, because no decision is a decision. Will you accept an invitation by the Holy Spirit today to have your mind changed to where you will think kingdom thoughts? God, I do. I accept your invitation today to hear the person of the Holy Spirit whisper in my ear those things that are so contrary to what I call normal. God, please change my normal. And make living in your world normal. And make living in this world abnormal. Make hearing you normal. And make the noise of this world nothing but noise to me. Let my eyes see the things of the kingdom. And not the attractions of this world. I want to live in your kingdom. Not for what your kingdom can do for me, not for what your kingdom can do for my parents, not for what this kingdom, what your kingdom can do for this church. I want to live in this kingdom because you are asking me, where are you? Because your nail-pierced hand is reaching out and grabbing my hand, and you're leading me into this kingdom. You have removed the angel from the gate, thrown the garden wide open, and said, this is where I've always wanted you. Come in. I want to come in where you've always wanted me. And I'm sorry. I've been dragging my heels. But by your grace, I'm running now. As hard and as fast as I can. I believe that if I goof up, God, you're big enough to fix it. I believe if I goof up, you're big enough to protect me. I believe if I miss it, I think you can correct me. Here I come. I'm getting ready to jump into the pool. If you don't catch me, I'm going to drown. But by you, God, here I come. With a run and jump. You better catch me, or I'm in big trouble. Amen.